I'm a hog for you, baby.
Broadcasting in the evenings on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk, and on the mothership, where I'm your big mother. It's AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show for your Thursday. It's an absolute privilege to welcome Maureen Tasek, to an investigative editor at Prospect, a fellow, senior fellow at the American Economic Liberties Project, to join us today to talk about two articles that she has written, and one of them involving our local company, United Health Group, here, who I think we can actually see from our parking lot. Mo is kind enough to take some time to talk about them. Mo, thank you very much. I really appreciate it today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I apologize for any audio difficulties. I got stuck in traffic. It's a no school today in here in Washington, D.C., unfortunately. So yes, and it gives me chills a little bit that you're right next door to the headquarters of the healthcare deep state over there.
Well, yeah. United Health Group is one there, and I can see from my house, I can see Optum's place. So yeah, they're a big entity here, which is kind of funny because when I read your story. Funny, no one here in town has covered this like you did. And I want to get into your thoughts here on what's going on right now with United Healthcare. And I think the first place to start is that we've heard the stories that United Healthcare's, money collection application got hacked and got shut down. Is that a good way to say it?
Sure. It's actually a company that they bought last year. The acquisition closed last year, called Change Healthcare. And Change is in turn an agglomeration of about 36, or so other companies that were rolled up together by the private equity firm Blackstone and the big distributor McKesson. So they owned companies that had everything to do, if it had to do with software and healthcare, they owned it, and they kind of put all these companies together. I really don't know actually, what they were after, but they had a ton of data, which is why the Justice Department really tried hard to block that merger. Mm-hmm. They really, really mounted a very serious lawsuit trying to not let that go through, because they thought, a lot of us think United Healthcare is just too big, and they couldn't really be trusted to not misuse that data. So Change Healthcare, it runs called a clearinghouse. And these clearinghouses, are connected to payment processing systems, software, practice management software, electronic health record software, any kind of software that you can think of in the healthcare system. It has to have this back end that kind of connects it all together. Mm-hmm. And that's the claims processing system. And there's a few of these, but Change was by far the biggest. And there was a ransomware attack on one of these companies, and they had to shut down the whole thing. And the first people to say, uh-oh, this is a disaster, were pharmacists. Mm-hmm. Because unlike anyone else in healthcare, who's kind of getting paid in batches, they're filing their claims like once a week or something like that, pharmacists need to get paid right away. Their margins are very slim, and they need to make sure that the claim's going to get paid for this minute, and then that nothing wrong is happening. And suddenly, they weren't able to, either process their claims at all, so 11 states use Change to actually process all of their Medicaid claims. There are a lot of things like that that just weren't going through. If you rely on a manufacturer's coupon to get a drug, that system's been down. So Paxlovid, for instance, no one's been taking Paxlovid, I'll tell you that, unless they've got, $1,400 to shell out. Mm-hmm. So it was really mayhem for pharmacists. And then about a week later, doctors suddenly realized what was going on. And if their EHR or their practice management software connected to Change they weren't, they didn't have any money coming in. And doctors, you know, large physician practices, that is another very low margin business.
Yeah.
So I had doctors talking to me, you know, calling me up and saying, we're going to go under. Like, I don't know what, like, I don't have any, my revenue went to zero. You know, I usually have $500,000 in revenue in a month, and I have zero coming in, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm, you know, cashing out my 401k or what have you. So, it's been really, really desperate times. And United Healthcare, has not been, I mean, I would say that they have, they've been pretty uncommunicative. They have sort of, they've been sending people these periodic updates, but the updates don't really say very much. You know, they blamed it on a state actor. So they sort of, you know, made it, it seem like that some, that Russia had gotten into it. But the real thing that has pissed people off, because doctors really don't like United Healthcare, you know, unless they're working for Optum, in which case they really, really, really don't like United. No, I'm just kidding. So physicians, Optum set up a, because Optum owns a bank, of course. They have owned a bank since 2002. They have a bank that's based in Utah. They offered emergency loans, emergency zero interest loans to all of these practices and hospitals to keep them afloat. How nice of them. Well, the loan, the size of these loans that they were offering are so insane. There was one social worker who usually bills United about, you know, $4,000 a month, who got a $10 loan offer. A woman with a practice with 80 employees and 20,000 patients, she got two loan offers, one for $1,300 and another for $2,000. So we're talking about loans that are like less than 1% of the revenue that these providers are taking in. Really, really sort of insulting program. The other thing is that there is this, a few competitors of Change have been, you know, offering their services instead. And one of them, called Availity, was offering its clearinghouse services for no cost and just saying, hey, you know, this is an emergency. We understand you need to get paid. Try our service. And then if you like it 6 months later, we can do a contract, you know, hoping that Goodwill will pay back. Optum also has a competing service. It has not offered that competing service for free. And Change, they have not been very good about helping practices get the files that they need to change clearinghouses. So it's been just this big debacle. Yeah. And amidst all this, right, Optum is buying physician practices, of course. They have purchased dozens of physician practices and surgery centers over the past couple of years. You know, they are now by far the biggest employer of physicians in the country, employing about 10% of working physicians. So that's, you know, a massive chunk. And there's a practice in Oregon that they were in the process of trying to buy. And, you know, Oregon has this law that, you know, anybody who's buying a locally owned independent practice to go through, you know, to make various promises or you know, it's an oversight process. So, you know, they have to agree that they're going to, you know, they're not going to start, you know, refusing certain people's insurance, or they're going to, you know, do what they can to keep all the people employed. Well, United did not want to go through this process. They, you know, they found it clunky and onerous, supposedly. So last week they filed an emergency exemption, and they said in their application for an emergency exemption, they said, you know, that this practice could, you know, close its doors if we don't step there in this, you know, liquidity squeeze. And everybody knows what they were talking about. They were talking about the Change Healthcare outage,
their own financial debacle.
Yes, the crisis that they had inflicted upon you know, the healthcare system. Well, you know, that is causing the emergency that is enabling them, you know, to say, hey, we need this deal to be fast tracked.
Right.
It don't really look good, but I don't think it's affected their stock price too much.
No.
So, you know.
Well, okay. So, first of all, the ransomware attack on Change, has that been cleared up, or is that still in place at this point?
That's also another thing that is not totally clear. the ransomware operates a lot like Uber. You know, there's a franchisor and a franchisee. So the Uber driver in this case was something called, you know, a ransomware affiliate called Notchi. That affiliate has been potentially linked to the Chinese government, and that person, you know, says that they haven't been paid, but it is a matter of public record on the blockchain, however that works. I'm not going to pretend like I know, but people much smarter than me say that $22 million worth of Bitcoin was recently paid into the Bitcoin wallet of a user associated with the Alpha ransomware group. So the Alpha is believed to be based in Russia. They got this $22 million, and then they put up a banner on their website and said, hey, we've been shut down. The FBI shut us down. And Notchi comes out and says, hey, we never got paid. You got your $22 million. We haven't gotten paid. So it's quite an interesting little sideshow dispute. And, yeah, I don't know what that means. I mean, basically what's happening is UnitedHealthcare is not bringing Change back. They are exporting all of Change's files, as I understand it. All of the data that Change that Change owns and all the systems they have, United is now exporting all of that stuff to Optum's systems.
Okay.
And that's the other thing. The other thing about this is that Optum has laid off a lot of people over the past year. I think a lot of those people at Change were laid off. There were a lot of, if you look on Glassdoor and thelayoff.com, there's a lot of sort of anonymous reports that after Change was purchased by Optum, the CEO got about like $100 million and left, and all these people who worked for Change got laid off. And so, you know, did those layoffs contribute to the, you know, the security breach? Probably. Ransomware attacks are happening just every single day in healthcare, and they are always attacking. They always seem to be attacking hospitals and health systems that I've been covering because they're doing crazy job cuts or they're doing crazy service cuts because they've been purchased by private equity or what have you. So I you know, these things tend to go hand in hand. When you've got an institution that's doing a lot of cutting, they're cutting the cybersecurity person, they're cutting their IT, and that is causing these attacks. But there were something like 400 ransomware attacks on healthcare institutions last year in this country. So it's a big problem.
Now, United Health Group has got this large pile of cash that they have because they're not paying it out. They're obviously, and Optum has got this, they're trying to buy up medical things. I'm going to ask the question, we got about a minute and a half here, but I'm going to ask the question, what's stopping a company from saying, oh, our financial system has been hacked, not paying out, and basically using that equity, you know, leverage that they have created for themselves to basically take advantage of a situation, as you kind of referred to with the Corvallis, or is it the Utah group, where they basically, now we don't have to follow the rules, they need an emergency takeover.
You know, there are all kinds that's come up, especially with some of the ransomware attacks that I have seen. You know, a lot of times companies will use them as an excuse, or will seem to be like they're using those as an excuse to not pay their vendors. So yeah, that's also a problem. And again, you know, this stuff isn't really, there's been two instances of the government actually fining a healthcare institution in conjunction with a ransomware attack for just being, you know, negligent. And the biggest fine they've doled out, I think, was $40,000. So does not give me a lot of faith. The government goes very easy on UnitedHealthcare. There's a lot of people who have filed whistleblower lawsuits against that company. The DOJ really doesn't step in. CMS relies. They just rely on the company for too much. It's a massive government contractor. It does.
Yeah.
It handles claims for 11 state Medicaid programs. So
Yeah.
It is one of those problems. UnitedHealthcare is...
Well, and hold on. Mo, hold on a second. We got to take a quick break. We'll come back and let you finish that thought. Mo Tasek is joining us from the American Prospect. We'll take a break. Come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show. It is the Matt McNeil Show on your Thursday. Once again, just an absolute privilege to talk to Mo Tasek, the investigations editor over the American Prospect, kind enough to talk to us about the UnitedHealthcare story that she had about their ransomware. You were talking just really quick there about, you know, the chances that a company could set this up on their own if they wanted to take advantage of the companies, the medical outfits they were trying to buy.
Their vendors, sure. I mean, you know, I'm not going to say that they set it up, although, you know, companies have done worse, more devious things, but they are not feeling any pain. They're just not feeling any pain. And that is something that should really freak people out. And I really wish that understanding this, I really wish that Washington would sort of wake up, because there's just no way to police this. And our healthcare system has all these rules and bureaucracies, but they are all governed by companies like UnitedHealthcare. It's not like you'd be surprised at how unregulated mm-hmm. The healthcare system is. It's almost like the simulacrum of regulation, though. And UnitedHealthcare has set up a lot of that. So, you know, one of the stories that I wrote about UnitedHealthcare this week is really just a look at how, the Affordable Care Act played to a lot of UnitedHealthcare's strengths and helped it more from an insurance company into this sort of all-powerful middleman of medicine. And, you know, when you look at why does our healthcare cost so much and why is it so hard to access, it is because there, you know, 35% of the money that we spend on healthcare goes to these middlemen, mm-hmm. You know, overhead and you know, revenue cycle management and consultants that help you, you know, sort of navigate all these, you know, little incentives that are supposed to, you know, make people healthier, but really just end up, you know, so UnitedHealthcare has great systems. It's a really impressive company, but I would say it's not good for America.
And by no means we're saying that this was designed, but at the same point, it sure was convenient. And that's not by us. That's your actions doing it. Okay, we don't have a lot of time, but I did want to mention this because I brought this story up. This death of the whistleblower for Boeing. Obviously, a lot of people are paying attention to this. That the door that blasted out. Yeah, the blow that door that blasted out. The wheel that fell off. John Oliver's last week tonight. Exceptional takedown of Boeing that he did. And you basically dive into this and ask the question. You know, Boeing wouldn't have done something like this. And it does sound like if reading your article. You yourself say you find it kind of hard that this would have been something that Boeing. A lot of people have been speculating. Did Boeing off the whistleblower? It's unlikely. I mean, this is there's whistleblowers all the time. This is kind of a unique thing, correct?
Yeah. Yes. Well, so Boeing has a lot of whistleblowers, and this particular whistleblower has his experience the experiences that he has, which were harrowing. All take place at the 787 factory in Charleston, South Carolina.
Yeah.
That is a real dumpster fire, that that factory. But it is not, you know, they are not producing 737 Maxes, which are the planes that have caused the most problems for Boeing, of course. Speaking of convenient, too, we just learned that Boeing had overwritten the security, you know, footage on the of the plant where, you know, the door plug was reinstalled without the bolt, so they don't know who to, you know, hold accountable for that. That's a little weird. The thing about this whistleblower is that he was he died during a deposition. He had filed this lawsuit 7 years ago, and he had just gotten a date his date in court, And he was, you know, doing his deposition for the first time. It was very cathartic, supposedly. He had a lot of documents. So it is very strange that he, you know, died in the middle of giving a deposition. Everybody thought that he was in great spirits, really excited to finally get his whole story out. The idea that he would kill himself right now, I mean, being a whistleblower, I've talked to a lot of them. You know, it's thankless. It is really isolating work. You can be very ostracized. You know, it can kill your chances for employment again. It just kind of destroys your life. And in most cases, I think, to be a legit whistleblower, especially for the amount of time that he was. And but this guy, Swampy John Barnett, he was really loved. I mean, he had a huge family. He raced cars on dirt tracks. He went fishing and boating all the time. He seemed to just have a really rich life, and that's the thing that sort of, you know, he just seemed to me to be a little bit better adjusted than most whistleblowers that I've come across. And nobody thought, you know, he had been diagnosed with PTSD, over what, you know, he went through at Boeing, because he was there. He was at this factory for, 6.5 extremely difficult years. But yeah, so, you know, nobody thinks it's really hard to say. I mean, there's a lot of things. He was holding the weapon. He was, he had his finger on the trigger.
Yes.
And that is a little weird. It is not very normal. I've been trying to, you know, so that's the next thing that I'm trying to figure out, is kind of on a forensic level, like, you know, is there something suspicious about this guy's suicide? And of course, a lot of people have watched this Netflix show, The Octopus Murders. And I think that has something to do with it, because I think the people, people are seeing staged suicides everywhere they look, but this one does look a little.
Mo, I'll tell you what, I'm going to drive people to the article. I want people to read that, read the United Health article as well. By all means, anytime you want to come back to my show, you have got an open invite. You are fantastic. The American Prospect is where they're going to find you there. And, just exceptional work there. Just a privilege to chat with you today. Mo Tasek, with The American Prospect, thank you so very much. I appreciate the time today.
Thank you. You have a great evening.
You too. Take care. I'll link to these stories. You need to read them. And once again, no one's saying Boeing did anything, but it is kind of odd, especially since this guy was basically seeing the horizon line. Chicago, have a good one. Minneapolis, St. Paul, hour two up next.